Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, April 23rd, 2014. In today's podcast, we will discuss recent remarks made by the President's Deputy National Security Advisor for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, one Lisa Monaco. First, let's look at who Lisa Monaco is. She was appointed by the President to her current job January 25th, 2013, so she's been in it a little over a year. She's a graduate of Harvard University. Where else would she go? And the University of Chicago Law School. What a coincidence. She is 44 years old and has spent her entire career climbing through the ranks of government from one job to another. She met President Obama at the University of Chicago Law School when he was teaching constitutional law there. She worked in the Clinton White House and the Department of Justice when Janet Reno ran it. She was co-counsel of Department of Justice's Enron Task Force and helped to prosecute the Enron scandal. She began her involvement with the U.S. Intelligence Services as Deputy Chief of Staff to the Director of the FBI, Robert Mueller. She has been heavily involved with U.S. intelligence ever since, especially the policy of keeping secret the information by U.S. data mining efforts. Who do they watch? Why do they watch them? What do they do with the information that they gather? She believes very strongly that it should be kept secret. Let's look at what she said in her speech last week at Harvard University. The title of her speech was, quote, Countering Violent Extremism and the Power of Community. She talked a lot about the Boston Marathon bombing since her speech was given during Marathon Week. But the real purpose of the speech was to emphasize the government's efforts to partner with local communities to uncover homegrown domestic terrorists in their formative years. Here's a quote from the most important part of her speech. Quote, local communities are the most powerful asset we have in the struggle against violence and violent extremism. We've crunched the data on this. In more than 80% of the cases involving homegrown violent extremists, people in the community, whether peers or family members or authority figures or even strangers, had observed warning signs a person was becoming radicalized to violence. But more than half of those community members downplayed or dismissed their observations without intervening. So it's not that the clues weren't there, it's that they weren't understood well enough to be seen as the indicators of a serious problem. Okay, folks, here's where it gets good now. Continuing the quote, what kinds of behaviors are we talking about? For the most part, they're not directly related to plotting attacks. They're more subtle. For instance, parents might see sudden personality changes in their children at home, becoming confrontational. Religious leaders might notice unexpected clashes over ideological differences. Teachers might hear a student expressing an interest in traveling to a conflict zone overseas. Our friends might notice a new interest in watching or sharing violent material. End quote. Now let's analyze some of her words. So it seems she believes that teenage rebellion and confrontation with parents is not a natural part of growing up, but instead a terrorist in the making. These behaviors are not related to plotting attacks, she said. No, they're more subtle. So you have to be careful, folks. Watch your kids. And if they rebel a little, you might threaten to rat them out to Homeland Security. Religious leaders, if you have a dispute with members of your congregation about doctrine, be careful. They might be terrorists. Teachers, watch for students expressing an interest in traveling to conflict zones. That's what we call them now, conflict zones. That sounds so much better than war zone. See, folks, the government can't uncover all these domestic terrorists by themselves. No, we're going to have to help them by watching our kids, our school children, church members, friends, etc. We've got to watch everybody so that at the slightest thing, we can inform the government so they can do something. What is that something? Well, she doesn't say what will happen to these suspects or, quote, at-risk individuals after they are ratted out by family and those who are supposed to protect them. Later on in the speech, she says, quote, we need a comprehensive prevention model that allows us to work with communities and intervene before violent extremism takes root. So there will be some type of intervention before a crime is actually committed. She talks about use of the internet to recruit the most vulnerable people among us by neo-Nazis, which, by the way, the U.S. government supports in the Ukraine, or by Al-Qaeda, which the U.S. government supports and supplies in Syria. The Department of Homeland Security is building partnerships, she says, across America. Partnerships, yes. Each community is to have a locally based, quote, envoy to coordinate government engagement on the threat of homegrown violent extremism. The first one is already in place in Los Angeles. Boston is to be the second. Every year, Department of Homeland Security gives hundreds of millions of dollars in grant money to local law enforcement. Yes, we know about that. That is why our police around the country are starting to look like special forces soldiers now. Now, folks, I want you to listen to this last little paragraph. It's very important. Get this now. Quote, finally, I want to mention the expertise developing right in your backyard. With support from the Department of Justice, the Children's Hospital of Boston is studying why some Somali refugees embrace violent extremism while others move toward gangs and crime, and still others channel their energies into nonviolent activism. The answers to these kinds of questions will be essential to developing more effective models of intervention. I thought these were homegrown terrorists they're looking at rather than refugees. That explains a large part of the problem. They have to decide whether some of these refugees, why they become violent extremists, some of them gangs and so forth. Maybe they shouldn't be refugees. Well, there it is, folks. You be the judge. To me, it seems that the federal government and Homeland Security is full of people like Lisa Monaco, who has spent their entire lives at Harvard and the University of Chicago Law School and in government jobs. They don't know any real Americans who live in real cities and real towns with real parents and real teachers. The result of all of it is pretty scary. At least that's the way it seems to me. Now, let me remind you that Friday, this coming Friday, I will be in the National Committee meeting of the Constitution Party here in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. I hope you can join us for that. But because of that meeting, there will be no podcast on Friday. I will join you again on Monday, the 28th of April. Until then, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.